Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
Happy Friday, John.
Happy Friday. Hope your day's going absolutely fantastic. Thanks for spending it with us. And it's 5:09, so the weekend is really, really almost here. When they always say, well, it must be 5 o'clock somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
Unfortunately, we can't do that on air.
No. We don't do that. But it is about T-minus 93 minutes until that Friday cocktail happens. Yeah, there we go.
At Otto's.
Yes. I'll pick it up at Otto's. No doubt about that. All right. It's going to be a big draft weekend coming up. Now it's just a few months away up in Green Bay. They are prepping for the draft. They're getting all ready up there. They are excited. And one of the ways that they're preparing for the draft, which is April 24th through the 26th, is that the airlines are adding a lot more flights into Little Green Bay Airport. Last year, 800,000 people attended the draft. Can you believe that number? That is so big. So Green Bay Austin Straubel Airport has announced additional nonstop flights from the draft. United Airlines and American Airlines have added two flights to and from Chicago O'Hare. American has also announced two nonstop flights from LaGuardia, New York. These flights are in addition to previously announced nonstops from Delta. Listen to all these places Delta's adding flights for the draft. Nonstop to Green Bay from Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Orlando, Atlanta, Minneapolis-St. Paul, and Detroit. And the convention people say, keep checking airline websites for new routes and dates because we will continue to add more flights.
Oh, that's so fun.
Airlines don't do that very often. Shows what a big deal the draft is.
Everybody's trying to get their hands on the Lombardi trophy, right?
Yes, that's what we play for, right?
So could it be called something different in the future?
What?
Here's Bill Belichick. He says, players are the reason games are won.
You can't win games without good players. I don't care who the coach is. It's impossible.
They don't name it the Star Trophy. It's named the Lombardi Trophy.
Maybe they should name it the Brady Trophy. He won seven of them.
What?
Brady Trophy.
Was he being serious or was he goofing around?
I thought it was... He was making a long, long statement. I kind of whittled it down. But his last statement was about that. But he's saying the coaches are not the reason for the winning. It's the player. It's
well,
not Coach
no
Lombardi.
No kidding. But it's the Lombardi Trophy.
Does Belichick have a point, though?
No.
I'll hang up and listen.
It's Title Town. First off, it would definitely not be the Brady Trophy.
Heck
I
no.
mean, Brady's great. You can't take that from him. He won a lot
He's
of Super
He's the greatest
Bowls.
Of all time.
Unless it's a deflated football on it.
That's that's a really good meme.
That was awesome.
That's a good idea.
Really good. Yeah, I think he was just trying to.
I mean, Brady won more Super Bowls than Lombardi.
Yeah, he did. He did for sure.
Lombardi's his quotes are so inspiring.
Legendary.
It's because it's more than just the Super Bowls he won.
His
True.
Look, everything. I mean, it's just so.
He won the first Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Correct.
And Brady had a great coach and team that was around him.
I'm shocked that Belichick said that of all people.
Me
because
too.
Because he's a historian.
Yeah.
And he respects the game.
And he and Brady have a really prickly relationship.
Correct.
And isn't Belichick not even in the NFL anymore?
Is that is like also college? Correct. Yeah.
Like, why are you getting your nose
Isn't he
in that?
Dating a girl who's like 25 years
that
old?
That is also Ew. Correct. You guys are all correct.
So gross.
How old is he? He's like
67.
If he was attractive, I'd be like... Whatever. Good for you.
Look up the age of his girlfriend really quick.
She's beautiful.
He's 67, and she is... Brandon's looking it up.
I can't with that.
She's very, very young.
I see them together. She looks... They look in love.
You were a little bit off here, John. She is 24.
Oh, my goodness!
Come on!
Belichick, I said 67. I was also wrong.
What?
He is 72.
What?
Ew!
That's
48, really weird.
Yeah, 48-year difference.
What?
Ew.
They met on a flight in 2021.
I bet they did. Come on. That's crazy.
Mile High Club, maybe?
What is she interested in him for? What could that
cha-ching.
Be? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big
insane.
Difference.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Ew.
Wow.
So he was in like his 50. He was almost 50 when she was born.
Oh, my God.
What?
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
She was if she's 24,
yeah.
If my math is correct, that means she was born around the year 2000. He had already been to the
That's
Super Bowl.
Worse than Hugh Hefner.
Julia, if you were single, would you date somebody who's 50 years older than you?
Well, how much money do they have?
See? That's why she's with
him,
right?
Are they a billionaire? Yep. If he's a billionaire, sure. I need a billionaire.
Surely a no.
Billionaire with a
yes,
B?
Yes, with a B.
Oof.
You'd only date for love, don't you?
I did this for Jason. But if Jason didn't exist, yeah, I'd be dating
for money.
If Brian
wasn't in the picture, would you date a guy 50 years older than you?
Probably not.
Is it a money issue for you too?
No, I'm just, Cialis and Viagra was invented.
No, it would be like I would want to go out with him if I loved him. If I loved him, yeah. I mean, I've friends with big difference in ages, and they're actually married for love, and everything was awesome. So,
and you can't choose.
I guess
love.
It's possible, but I'm not. You know, that's a little bit
a
much.
50-year age difference. That'd be 16 years older than my dad. For it to be 50-year age difference.
That's...
Dead daddy.
That's
I mean, that's
crazy.
Disgusting.
You know, sometimes people say, wow, she's dating somebody that's the age of her dad. She's dating somebody the age of her grandpa.
Seriously. It's not even close either. You're right.
Woo! Wow. It's 5:15 at WTMJ. Four years ago, the lives of a Pewaukee family changed forever. Today, the legacy of Marley Lehman lives on thanks to the overwhelming support of family, friends, and those who subscribe to the mantra of no worries. WTMJ's Greg Matzik has the story.
On a snowy night in late January of 2021, Marley Lehman was driving home from Madison after a day of apartment shopping. She never made it home.
I got a call from my wife, and she's like, you got to come home. Marley's been in an accident.
Mike Lehman is Marley's father. Heading eastbound on I-94 near Oconomowoc, Marley was hit by a wrong-way driver who suffered from Alzheimer's. First responders worked on Marley at the scene.
They were working on her in the ambulance. All of a sudden, we looked, and there was about four or five firefighters and the doctor walking at our car, and they said, you know, we did everything we could, but she didn't make it.
Marley Lehman was 20 years old.
It was like an out-of-body experience almost.
Marley's older sister, Maddie. 200 shirts were printed and distributed at Marley's funeral. On the front of those shirts, Marley's favorite saying and life mantra.
No worries, none. She lived in the day for the moment. She was the kindest, happiest kid I've ever known.
The shirts were gone in the blink of an eye.
People were reaching out to us saying, hey, can I get one of those t-shirts? And so that's what kind of sparked my interest in wanting to do something further. Like, people liked this.
Roughly 3 months later, with demand high, the No Worries None Instagram page launched, and sales were brisk.
We didn't have a webpage or anything like that. We just had an order form. My friends and family started reposting the link. Contacts at UW-Whitewater got the link, and they started promoting it. Most of it has truly been word of mouth.
Also born on that day in March, the Marley Lehman Scholarship Foundation, which helps fund the cost of higher education for in-need students wishing to attend a number of Wisconsin institutions.
The first being WCTC. We give scholarships to financially in-need students each year. We do two, and those are $4,500 scholarships. And then we do two or three scholarships each year through Arrowhead for financially in-need students. Usually we focus on people with special needs. And then we do each year an all-in-Milwaukee scholarship, where our scholarship will follow them through 4 years of an undergraduate degree, and they receive $5,000 each year from our scholarship foundation. And if they go to UW-Milwaukee or UW-Madison or UW-Whitewater, the universities will match that. So they'll receive a total of $10,000 for each of the 4 years.
And after just over 3 years, the foundation is going strong thanks to the support of those who knew Marley or simply subscribe to her life mantra.
As a scholarship foundation, we have raised a total of over $500,000. Really an astronomical amount that I never, never thought that the scholarship would reach.
Marley Lehman had a unique power to connect. The way she lived her life, exemplary.
You know, when Marley was alive, she was like the glue between a lot of different friends. So she would bring a lot of different people together.
And 4 years after her passing, Marley Lehman is still connecting people around the country.
We'll see people, different countries with their No Worries None, airports, cities. It's pretty incredible how Marley is still bringing people together.
I really see what an impact that she had on my life and still continues to have on my life and on other people's lives.
We still are proud of everything that she was. Not a minute goes by without thinking of her. And we think about her every second of every day.
Arrowhead High School will honor Marley with a Scholarship Foundation fundraiser February 4th at the Boys and Girls Basketball Games. Search No Worries None. That's No Worries None on Instagram, and you can follow their page. It's rather amazing when parents make the legacy of a child who's no longer here their own legacy, and they try so desperately to make something positive out of something that's absolutely terrible.
It's beautiful.
Search No Worries None on Instagram to follow their page. What is going on with the Milwaukee School Resource Officer situation? I mean, these officers were supposed to be in school a year ago, and they're still not in school. There's another deadline. I say deadline with air quotes because they've proven that the deadline doesn't really matter. John Jagler, state senator, has led the way when it comes to leading the discussion on how this needs to be implemented and what should happen if it doesn't. And Senator Jagler is with us on the hotline. Thank you so much for being with us. How you doing, John?
Hey, John. Good. Yeah, when you say lead the way, it gets kind of a strange feeling. It's like, yes, I'm leading to nothing happening.
At least you're holding them accountable. I mean, you are
sure, okay,
keeping this. Keeping this in the headlines and in the discussion. Is there any update? They met in closed session last night about this and won't tell us what happened.
No, there is no update. I mean, you know, they ignored the state law. And, you know, and I got kind of excited when Will filed the lawsuit. And then I got even more excited when Will won. I was like, oh, this is great. You know, they got to have the resource officers in place play that court order on February 17th. That's the next date. And then I just realized it's like, well, wait a minute. If they're ignoring state law, what makes me think they're going to follow a court order? So I don't know what we're betwixt, I guess. I just don't know what to do, and we're frustrated, and here we are. And the lack of urgency, communication, anything on this, it's just very, very frustrating.
Do you want to hear my prediction?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So they're pointing fingers. Deadline is February 17th. If not, then the school leaders have to go before a judge. Maybe the judge could do a little spanking or something like that. But they might say, well, Your Honor, we don't know who's going to pay for it. In the past, Milwaukee Public Schools paid for SROs during the school year. And then the summer, police. But that's not ironed out now that it's coming back. Who's going to pay for it? So they're going to use that as an excuse. That's my prediction.
And I hope, I don't know what kind of powers a judge can have in that, in ordering some type of, you're right, that's
exactly
been the whole argument. That's been the whole argument all along. But you know what? It is accurate that in the shared revenue bill that required this to happen, negotiated on by both parties, city, everybody, that there wasn't an allocation clear cut who's going to pay. That's very accurate. And yes, it's accurate that MPS did not get any money in that. The city did. But it's not like the school or the school district didn't just pass a giant referendum to get millions and millions and millions of dollars in from the taxpayers. This isn't a new concept. It was already out there. As you said, it was a 5-6 agreement. And I look at it as a 10-12 agreement because for the two-month period of the 12 months, where school isn't in session, the city did pay for those officers. That plan is in place. That could be done right now.
John, are you kicking yourself that legislators who helped craft this didn't put in there what the penalty would be, what the consequence would be, who's going to pay for it? I mean, who would have thought you'd have to put in there that you can't break the law, but are you kind of saying, man, I guess we should have had that in there?
Sure. And it is buyer beware going forward now on anything MPS wants. You know, the governor's about to introduce his budget. His budget address is coming up in a couple of weeks. And as I said to you too, John, you know, as chairman of the Senate Education Committee, how can I go to outstate legislators who don't live anywhere near Milwaukee? Certainly everyone agrees it's the economic driver of the state and its importance is obviously there. But how do I go to outstate lawmakers and say, look, you know, they're going to need more money for special education funding. They're going to need more money for this. They're asking for that. The governor put in this much. How can we make any case to them, like, you know, we're not dealing with good faith actors here. And I don't know what, I mean, there's talk around the building that someone's going to write a bill to try to make this happen and then start clawing back from the city. I don't know if that, or the district rather. I don't know if that's possible. And again, we're in a situation where we do that. It's got to be signed into law by the governor. I doubt that's going to happen. So it probably will have the same effect as me just going on the radio and complaining about it, because the governor's not going to sign that into law. And, you know, and beyond this, you know, the school resource officer issue, we had the nationwide test scores came out yesterday, earlier this week, just devastating numbers for the city of Milwaukee. The kids are just being failed, guys. We are really, everyone is just failing this generation of kids. Those scores are so devastating for the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, and the governor was asked about this, and he said that he's not happy about the SRO situation. I mean, I guess they're violating state statute, but I just remembered this when I was in the Capitol, when this was going through, and there were Milwaukee city leaders walking through and talking to you, probably, Senator, yep. Jagler, and many others. And I said, what about those strings attached to this shared revenue bill and the tax increase that would be added to it? Like, there was also diversity, equity, and inclusion positions that would be removed from the city, mm-hmm. and this SRO situation. And they just went, yeah, we're just not going to listen to it. I'm not going to identify who. It was more than one person.
I believe it. I believe it, because the proof is in the pudding. Look what we have happened here. You know, and those additional measures, I'm not saying that that's the only reason why I voted for the shared revenue bill. But those additional measures, like the school resource, that's something I asked for in the bill during the, you know, well, I went to our leadership and said, look, if you're going to be getting votes, if we're negotiating, I'd had the school resource officer, and also a provision that was added that nobody's even really talking about that they haven't done either, which is crime data in the individual schools. I wanted that data as well.
Interesting.
So I had two bills that were out there. I said, maybe to get my vote, you need to put those in there. And I was very happy to get it in there in the final package, but it hasn't done, as you can tell, it hasn't done any good.
John, just like to clarify, you also asked for and had language about the data included, and that has not been handed over either?
Well, what it did was the bill that I had on the individual school report cards, crime data for the individual schools, and that was added, and then that was supposed to be the decision maker on where the resource officers go, but that's just that's just lost in the mist too.
Hey, we're talking about part of the solutions. I want you to respond to this text that just came in. Whoever in MPS is not following the law should be fired immediately. Put someone in there that follows the law and will implement this policy. It's that easy. It's that simple. It's the law.
Well, we don't even have a superintendent right now.
Right, I know.
Yeah, I mean, so who do we go to? We you saw the reaction of the school board. They just don't seem to care. I mean, if they're not, if they're not following the law, and now they're not. My guess is they probably won't follow the court order. What more do we have? What more can we do? I don't know. And the situation, as I said, with the governor and his budget address coming up, I'm sure it's going to call for a hefty increase in education funding. It would be a shame. Let's put it this way. It would be a shame if any increase in state funding, except for the 400-year veto, which is going to have some automatically included that was done last budget cycle, would be hung up for the entire state of Wisconsin just because of the bad deeds of MPS on this issue.
Weren't we supposed to have the interim superintendent on, and they said that they were going to do that for us on Wisconsin's Afternoon News?
Oh, sure, yeah. They did, but that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you, John, so the school board says we weren't part of the negotiations. You know, we didn't. So my question related to that is the mayor was. The mayor,
right.
I wish, would be more forceful. The mayor negotiated this in good faith. As Julie said earlier, he came and talked to everybody he could find in the Capitol. He proudly said, I'm taking a cot. I'm going to be there so often. Shouldn't he be on the hook for some of this? Shouldn't he be wielding his influence?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had conversations. You know, it's a tricky path, because the city attorney, Evan Goyke, is a former state representative, former colleague. I get along with him great. But guess what? When I called the city attorney to find out, hey, what's going on? Do you guys have any? The city attorney is also MPS's attorney by structure.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, the city attorney could be
wow
on the hook for that.
Oh, wow. He's State Senator John Jagler. Hey, John, keep fighting the fight.
We'll do it, John. Thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.